It's on now. All right. It's my privilege here today to open God's Word and share with you. I don't look at this as a small thing to be able to share God's Word. We want to turn to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. If you have a Bible, open it up. If you need a Bible, there's one in the pew. If you're a phone guy and want to look it on your phone, do it. Or if you just want to watch the screen, that's fine too. So, many ways to get the Word of God. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Just going to read. It says, "And it come to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Now, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's moving from location to another location. And he's between Samaria and Galilee. "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.'" So what we have here is Jesus is moving, and he comes to a certain village, and there's 10 guys that show up. And they're standing afar off, and it says they are lepers. They are lepers. In other words, they have a disease. They have something wrong with them that has put them in a certain category in their life. And they cry out to him, calling him Master. And they say, "Have mercy upon us." And they're looking for mercy. And we are looking for mercy today too. And they found it in the right person. And then it says that the Lord saw them, he heard them, and he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now in the Old Testament, the priest was the only one that declared someone clean or unclean in light of leprosy. And they had to go through all this ceremonial stuff and all what takes place with leprosy in the Old Testament. So he tells them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they're going, they're healed. Their leprosy is gone. Now think of that. It's gone. It's totally out of their system. Their disease has been reversed. 9 of them go on to find a priest. One of them, he acknowledges something, he sees something, he goes, "Why do I need to go to the priest? I'm going back to the one that did this to me." And he goes back and he finds Jesus. He falls down on his knees. And you know, that's a certain position that a lot of times in the presence of God people were at. They were on their face, they were on their knees, they were standing at attention. They weren't in slumber. And you know what he does? He thanks him. And he worships him. And he glorifies him. And then the Lord Jesus, he says something. He goes, "Where are the other 9? Where are the other ones? Were there not 10 of you? And only one of you has come back to glorify God." And then he tells this guy, he says, "Something's happened in your life." He says, "Your faith has made you whole." And we're going to talk about this morning giving him thanks. Look there at verses 15 and 16. It says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. What does it mean to be thankful? It is an acknowledgement, an expression of gratitude. And the question that we can ask ourselves today is, am I a thankful person? Am I a thankful person? And not only that, or you could put it this way, do I feel deserved to receive something? And that's the society we're growing up in today. The society today is, you deserve this. You deserve this. I want to say here on the onset, we don't deserve anything good. And we're going to see why here in a minute. The question also is, does God want me to be a thankful person? Have you ever done something for someone when they don't thank you? Maybe something big or something little. And they don't thank you. And you get a little, why didn't they thank me? The Lord Jesus has done something for us, and we're going to see, and what He wants and what He deserves is for us to be thankful. Or are we like this? We see something happen to someone, and we want that for our lives, that blessing. Or they do something and wonder why I'm not included. And the emphasis is always upon me and what I cannot have or cannot do, instead of on the Lord Jesus. And I want to suggest here this morning that God wants us to redirect our focus in life upon Him and Him only. Look here in Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2. And these 10 lepers is a good example of this. This is absolutely nothing new that we have not heard before. That God wants us to be thankful people, and to worship Him, and to praise Him, and to give Him the glory. But the question is, am I doing that? We know we should do it. We know that, we even know how. But I want to suggest that this should be a fundamental and a foundation in our Christian living, day by day by day by day, is a spirit of thankfulness. And not only a spirit of thankfulness, but an attitude of thankfulness. And that is going to breed, you know what? Contentment. Contentment. God wants us to be content. But look here, Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Established in the faith as you have been taught. And then it says something, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Am I a person that abounds in thanksgiving? Am I so thankful? Or do I always want a little bit more? Or why didn't I get? Or why did they and I didn't? Am I thankful? I want to suggest God wants us to be thankful. Come back here to Luke chapter 17. Look at this verse in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Only one of them came to thank the Lord. Sadly, that is the Christian world today. Here in America, we think more about ourselves than others. We think more about me than God. And we think we deserve things. You know, have you ever watched The Voice, the movie, the show The Voice? They come in, they sing, and they either next or on. And you're always hearing, you deserve this, something good. And that's a little difficult for me to take in as a Christian, because I look at my life and I say, I don't deserve anything good that God has given me. Nothing. And it is a matter of perspective of who we are, and we're going to look at that too. I'm going to tell you the application here. The application for what I'm sharing with you is that we would be that one that returns to the Lord and gives Him thanks. Loud thanks. Uninhibited thanks. Unashamed. Open about it. God has done this for me. Period. He fell down before the Lord. There's a sense of being in the presence of God. It excludes arrogancy, pride, not deserving of anything, lowly, humble before God. He was a Samaritan, by the way, which was not part of the Jews. He was included in that leprosy division of life. And that's where we are. He thanked Jesus. The Amplified Version puts it this way. He thanked Him over and over and over. Has someone ever done something for you that you just thank them again and again and again and again and they get a little tired of it? This is what was going on. He was thanking the Lord Jesus for what happened in His life. Do I have that kind of a spirit within me? Am I a thankful person? When someone does something for you, do you thank them? Or do you feel like they should do that for me anyway? I mean, that's how we are. God wants us to be thankful today. There is an overwhelming sense that I have received something that I do not deserve. That's what was happening with this leper. He got something he didn't deserve. Do I have a sense today that I have received something of great eternal value? And am I grateful for it? Did you know that God's given you something of great eternal value? No matter if you get anything here upon this earth that you think you should have, God's given us something to be thankful for. It has great eternal value. It's called the kingdom of God. It's called eternal life. It's called salvation. And if we see it clearly, we will be thankful. And we will be thankful for every jot and tittle, everything that God gives us, we will thank Him for. Isn't that what God wants? Isn't that what it says in Colossians? Abound in thanksgiving. Do you know anybody that is abounding in thanksgiving? Do you know anybody that abounds in all they can do is, you know, complain and mumble and grumble? You know, that's sin. The Bible calls that sin. God wants us to be thankful. So there's three things we want to consider in this passage. The first thing is leprosy. The reality of my condition. Leprosy, the reality of my condition. First off, what was leprosy? I'm going to put it this way. A slow, progressive disease with ulcerations, scabs, deformities, loss of fingers, toes, nose, hair turns white, the flesh appears raw, and there's other symptoms, and eventually death. Died in leprosy. Today we don't see the extreme leprosy like we do in the Old Testament. Now I've seen some lepers and not that extreme, but leprosy still exists. But here it was very extreme. But there's one thing that was common about all lepers is that the consensus was that they were what? Unclean and unholy. Matter of fact, if you touched a leper, you were considered unclean. Just right there, if you touched a leper. They were unclean. What makes us unclean today? What makes us unclean today? You know what it is? It's sin. It's very simple. Sin makes us unclean, and it puts us in that category with leprosy and all the deformity of it and all that is wrong and unnatural with it. That's what sin does. Look with me here in Isaiah chapter 64. In case you think that I'm a good person and not a sinner, I want to show you something. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, it says here in verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." The book of Romans says we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. This is the state of the leper. This is the state of our lives and the sin in our lives. And what is sin? That's a good question. You go, well, the Ten Commandments. Well, the Ten Commandments were given to show us sin. I want to simplify sin. Sin is when you do something God does not want you to do. And sin is when you don't do what God wants you to do. That's called disobedience. That's why we teach our children to be obedient, so that when God calls them, they're obedient to God. Sin is disobedience. It's simply just not doing what God wants. And we know what God wants in our life, don't we? And you know what that's going to produce, that sin? It's going to produce a slow, progressive disease with ulcerations and scabs and deformities and the loss of things. And it's going to hurt you and those that are around you. That is the category that we are in. And that is what we should never, ever forget. Because Paul, what did he say? What did he call himself? The chief of what? Sinners. He had a healthy realization of who he was. Do you have that healthy realization? Or do you think you're somebody? And you're actually pretty good, and really you do a lot of things right compared to the things that you do wrong. And I mean, they outweigh, and when I stand there, it's like a big scale, and what I do is better than what I... It doesn't matter. Sin is sin, no matter how you slice it. Comes from the same loaf. We all got pieces of it, slices of it. Or do we look at someone and say, their sin is worse than mine? Where in the world do you see that in the Scriptures? In the eyes of God, it's all sin. And it all results and comes to the same place, a separation from God. That's what it is. And matter of fact, these lepers, what were they? Okay? What were they? We're categorized with all the other lepers, all unclean, no matter what degree the disease was in. No matter if they had a little bit of it, and it was just beginning, and all you could see just a little white patch on their cheek, or they were covered with it. Still the same. And sometimes we think, because I'm not covered in it, it's okay. That's not what the Scripture talks about. Still unclean. The leper was far off. They kept their distance. They were shut off from society. They were far off from the Lord. Sin keeps us from God. Did you know that? Sin keeps us from God. And there are certain sins that they keep us from God. You know, I think as a husband, you know, there's a verse in the Scripture that talks about being bitter and angry toward your wife. It says, God will not hear you. That to me is incredible. Okay, guys? So, you know, that's a sin. And it says, God will not hear you. In other places, God will not be, you will not be with God. Look what here in Isaiah 59. Look at Isaiah 59 says. This is amazing. And it goes contrary to teaching today. Isaiah 59. It says here, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If we let sin go unchecked and untaken care of, we fall into a category that we do not want to be in. And it's devastating. Second thing we want to consider is the cleansing, or the work only God can do. This is a work only God can do. Leprosy is a very vivid picture of sin. Did you know that? In our lives today, the devastating effects that it has on us and those around us. But there is cleansing for the leper. And we see here, look what happens there in Luke chapter 17, verse 13. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And we see the cry for mercy. Nothing can help your sin, and no one can help your sin. Only Jesus Christ can. And by the way, that's why he came. Did you know that? To die on the cross for our sins. That's why he came. He came to pay the penalty for your sin. Do we see that? Do we acknowledge the suffering and the pain that he went through? He took our place. We were set free. And there is mercy. There is cleansing for our sin. Only the Master. You know what they do? They call him Master. This word, recognize Jesus, is the one with all authority. Other places in the Scripture, the Master means different things. Teacher, the one that knows this and that. But here, it has to do with the one that has all authority. He is the only one that can cleanse sin. The person next to you cannot. They can forgive you for what you've done to them, but they cannot cleanse your sin. Only Jesus Christ can. And it's by the precious blood of his life. And we see there in verse 14, it says, and when he saw them, in one translation it puts it, and when he heard them and when he saw them. Did you know when you cry out for mercy, God hears you? And God sees. God knows the state that we are in. He knows the leprosy in our life. He knows that sin in the closet. He knows what we did to that person. He sees it. It's so clear to him. It's like the light shines and he's got the best vision of anybody. You know, I was with someone this summer or this last spring. Guy had like 20/10 vision. And I'm looking at that there, and I can't see anything he sees, but he's telling me it's out there, okay? We were hunting. And God has better vision than that. It is so crystal clear to him, the sin in our life. We need to talk about sin. We need to address it. We need to look at it. And we need to go, Lord, you're my only hope here. And he is. I've been a Christian since I was 15 years old. And you know what I see? I sin. I have sin in my life. And it's ugly, and it's dirty, and it's scabby, and it's full of just, it's deteriorating. And that's what sin does. We must see it and where it leads us to. But we must see the one that can cleanse us. He hears them, he sees them, he acknowledges. And then you know what he does? He cleanses them. He is the only one that can do it. There is no other way but by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, we'll look here first in verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. In some translation it says, healed. They were cleansed. Do you know the cleansing of Jesus Christ in your life? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. This is a great verse. Not the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 1. Look at it with me. 1 John 1, beginning with verse 7. 7, 8, 9. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, what's it do? Cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship. You want a good reason to fellowship with God's people? There's one. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as a Christian, there's a habit that we can get into, and it's keeping short accounts with God. When we sin, come to Him and confess it. Don't wait. King David waited. Boy, he got into all kinds of trouble. Don't wait. Every night, every morning, we should be coming before the Lord and confessing our sins. And you know what He says He'll do? He cleanses us from it. He takes it from us. Says He blots it out. Says that He casts as far as the east is the west. He says He remembers it no more. That's what He does with our sin. We like to remember it. And we like to remember the sins of everybody else. And we like to compare with them. But we're all sinners. Need to remember that. And the third thing we want to talk about is worship. Or I put it this way, the inner response from being overwhelmed. Have you been overwhelmed by the grace and mercy of God? Has it overwhelmed you yet? Or do you just look at it like, oh, that's the way it is? Do I see sin and what God has done, the price He paid, and the sin in my life daily, and am I overwhelmed by the mercy of God and the cleansing of God? God wants us to be a people that is overwhelmed by it, that it brings worship, that it brings us to our knees before Jesus. And with a loud voice, we glorify God. With a loud voice, we thank Him and we praise Him and we are uninhibited by it. This place on Sunday morning, we should be coming with a loud voice to glorify God. Uninhibited. Who's here? Who hears me? Who doesn't hear me? We sing songs of worship. Wouldn't it be great if we all sang with a whole heart, like nothing else? That comes by being overwhelmed by the mercy of God, His grace, His kindness, His cleansing in our life. Have you sensed it? Have you felt it? Have you acknowledged it? Does it even make a difference in your life? Do I care that God has cleansed me? In order to do that, we need a change of perspective. Look what it says here. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Have you seen it? Have you seen God's healing power in your life? Turn back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Sees what Jesus did for him, and now he's fixed upon Jesus. Are your eyes fixed upon the Lord? We like to fix them upon ourselves. We like to fix them upon someone else. We're famous for that. We do a good job pointing the finger and comparing and mumbling and grumbling. Is that the kind of person that God wants us to be? Is that the kind of people that God wants us to be? You know, in the book of Peter, it says that He has redeemed us. He's taken us to be a what? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and we are peculiar, to show forth the glories of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is what God has called us for. In the book of Revelation, do you know what the battle for is the book of Revelation? It's for worship. Who gets the worship? When Antichrist comes and Satan and all of his angels and his entourage, you know what they want? Worship. And you know what the world gives them? Worship. And that's the battle today. Where does my worship go? Who gets it? Do I get it? Does someone else get it? Does my job get it? What gets it? Does Jesus Christ get it? We're here this morning to see that we need to give it to Jesus Christ. And what does He do? He comes and He falls down. In verse 17, There's an acknowledgement of God. Did you know God takes note of the one that returns to Him? Look what it says. And Jesus answering said, "Where were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And you know what God acknowledges? If you give Him glory, He sees it. Did you know that it's an attention getter for Him? It is the way that we are ushered into the throne room. It is by worship and praise. It says that He dwells in the midst of the praises of His people. It talks about entering in and coming in with praises upon our lips. It is our sacrifice today. It is that which we can bring to God is worship and blessing and praise and thanksgiving. The question is, am I doing it? There's one that came back. Am I the one that comes back? Have I come back to God and done that? And we see here, verse 19, and He said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." I want to suggest that worship does a deepening work in your life. Did you know that? Worship will do a deepening work in your life. The Lord sees this one that kneels down before Him, exalts Him loudly, unashamedly, gives Him the glory. And this guy had nothing. He's been a leper. He's got nothing. The only thing he has to thank God for is that God cleansed him. If that's the only thing you have today, that God has forgiven you and cleansed you of your sin, you got it. You got it. And it doesn't matter what the other person has or owns or lives in or drives or who they're married to or not married. It doesn't matter. You have the cleansing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship is how great thou art. It is an adoration, a homage, to give reverence. It is to be an acknowledgement of God and to God that comes from my mouth and my actions. Praise is an expression of approval, admiration, extolling, acclaiming, applauding, commending. It is to be preoccupied with Him. This is not a time of asking. It is a time of blessing Him. Every day we can do that. And I want to suggest, when you come to the Lord in prayer, before you do anything else, fundamentally praise Him, bless Him for who He is and for what He has done. Be the one that comes and exalt Him in a great way in your prayers every day. And make sure you do it every day. When we begin to pray with praise and thanksgiving. And you know what? We are ushered in to the presence of God when we do that. He takes note of us. And He says, "This one, do I want to be at the place in my life that every situation, every circumstance, I can fall down before Jesus and acknowledge Him and give Him all glory, all praise, all honor, all thanksgiving? Do I want to be at that place? Is that where God wants us to be? A place of adoration to Him?" I want to suggest yes. Our application, verse 15. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." Let's stand, shall we? Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we bless you and we praise you in this place today. We acknowledge that you're the only true God. You are the Almighty One. You are the Creator of heaven and earth, the visible and the invisible. You have a perfect plan for mankind. We thank you that you are the God of old that works salvation in the midst of the earth. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the Good Shepherd. You are that water of life and that bread of life. Lord, you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Every knee will bow to you. Every tongue will confess you. And Lord, we come here this morning confessing you. We come here this morning exalting you and praising you and lifting you up and blessing you. And Lord, we come now and I ask, Father in heaven, that each one of us would see clearly that you have saved us, that you've delivered us, that you've taken us from darkness and brought us to light, that you've cleansed us, you've taken us that terrible leprosy. And Lord, you healed us. And you have given us life and life more abundant. We thank you for that. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.